This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York, where the high is supposed to be 90 degrees on Monday, but that's nothing compared to the dangerous heat that won't quit in the South. Weather Channel meteorologist Paul Goodlow says temperatures remain above 100 in Phoenix, too.
Yet another day at or above 110 degrees. This streak started way back in June, but it really continues in earnest this month. In fact, our streak is at 16 days. The old record is 18 days. We're at least going to have 21 days or more. And in terms of the end, it's nowhere in sight.
In the Northeast, it's round two of heavy rains causing widespread damage and deadly flash flooding. Outside Philadelphia, five people are dead and two kids are missing.
The Luzecki family returned home from vacation to find their entire backyard swept away.
This is our fourth flood, and this is by far the worst, and nothing is being done.
Washed away was a rebuilt motorcycle, and the family says they found their shed about a quarter mile away. There's no power to the house, which still has water flooded inside it.
I can't see a future here any longer. With the storms getting worse, this is the end for us in this neighborhood. It's just too much.
Dan Snyder, CBS News, Philadelphia.
A tennis titan falls at Wimbledon. Novak Djokovic was defeated in the men's final match by Carlos Alcaraz. The BBC's Russell Fuller.
Djokovic still forced the 20-year-old into a final set, but after dropping his serve early in the decider and being warned for smashing his racket against the net post, the seven-time champion had to concede defeat on center court for the first time in 10 years.
Back here, police say a gunman went on a shooting rampage, killing four people in 10 minutes near Atlanta. Then he turned his weapon on police, who shot and killed him. Henry County Sheriff Reginald Scarndrett.
We have a couple of officers that are injured. The most severe has been life flighted to Grady. He was hit in the rear of his back. He is conscious, breathing, and talking at this time frame.
Jurors in Pittsburgh will begin the final sentencing phase in the trial of a man convicted of killing 11 worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018. Law professor Laurie Levinson.
He was put on trial and found guilty in the first phase of committing the murders. He was found eligible in the second phase of facing the death penalty. But the key phase starts now, whether this jury wants to impose the death penalty on Robert Bowers.
Behave better. That's the message to fans from the Tour de France overall leader after another mass crash marred the 15th stage. A day after a big pileup forced several riders out of the race, there was another accident when a spectator on the side of the road inadvertently touched American rider Sepp Kuss and sent him to the ground. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Almost Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee.
I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Almost Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Oh, well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
To the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, broadcasted live in the Shaw today. WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. I got my little buddy Dominic here with me, and we've been joined by a fine host in his own regard. He is the host of Morning Cannolis. He's a former U.S. attorney. He's a friend of ours, James Santel. Welcome back to your studio. We're borrowing your place for the
I think it's your studio, and I am delighted to be with you on any day of the week, Mike and Dom.
Thank you, Jim. Always good to see you, man.
And in that I skipped lunch today, the fact that you came bearing cannolis.
Oh, did.
You are a godsend.
And so good. Those are from Gloriosos.
They are right? from Gloriosos, your old stomping grounds there on Brady Street. And they wanted me to express their greetings to you right out here in Waukesha County.
All right. So, we appreciate
cannolis
it.
Cannolis from Milwaukee into Waukesha.
Yes.
How's that?
Jim Santel, the breaking news, at least breaking to the public, is that the Biden administration has put forth another proposed let's see how the headline reads, a student loan forgiveness plan, about $39 billion. Jim, obviously the last plan ill-fated, at least when it wound its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. They dismissed Biden's method. Was the problem the method that the Biden administration tried to utilize, Jim? And do you think this one will end up with a similar fate?
Should be able to do this. $39 billion, as you said, student debt, about $804,000. I'm sorry, 804,000 borrowers who might be affected by this. Not nearly as broad as the previous plan was, but because this is under a different rubric, if you will, should be able to go ahead. The problem, according to the Supreme Court, with the prior constitution of this was that it was just too big and too new, and basically saying the Congress is the group that's got to do this, invokes something called the major questions doctrine that basically says that if Congress has not acted, the president, the executive, should not do something that's colossal in nature, involves a lot of finances. And so that's the reason why they struck it down. An awful lot of people obviously not in favor of that decision, a 6-3 decision. But this one should resurrect at least a portion of that with respect to this. It also has to do with, again, some accounting issues, I understand, from the past. Cleaning up some records, some accounting things to make certain that all these accounts are, in fact, consistent with what the debts truly are. And it will accomplish some results, some good things for some of these borrowers out there. It is plainly not the big project that the Biden administration has first proposed through the education department.
But, Counselor, just because you think it's legally sound doesn't mean it will not be sued in the federal courts. Because whatever this president proposes, there's a certain presumption there's litigation amongst Republicans. We know it's coming, Jim.
It is.
But you think this one, if I hear you, sir, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know you often do, This one you think has a better chance of standing up.
Right. Again, one of the problems that the Supreme Court identified was language underneath the act, which gave the Secretary of Education the ability to modify and amend the ways in which these accountants were taking place, did not say you could completely cancel them. Here, much closer to that, again, as I understand it, what you're doing is you're trying to do some math here to make certain the people who owe debts actually do owe these amounts. That strikes me as a truly executive kind of function, almost the kind of thing that an accountant could do. And again, absolutely, someone will run into court. Probably they're already putting that complaint together as we speak, challenging this. But boy, if the Supreme Court looks at this and says you can't even administer loans and do account financing, those kinds of things, independent of judicial review, that's going to be a pretty far stretch, I think.
Yeah. Our fun guest, James Santel. He is a former U.S. attorney. He is the host of Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network Saturdays, 9 to 11. And Jim, I confess, I've been indulging in the Morning Cannolis on Saturday. I've been listening up at the cabin, and I hear you all across the great state of Wisconsin on Wonderful. The Civic Media Network, usually on a radio station, on the Civic Media app if necessary. But Jim, Supreme Court rulings, there were some pretty significant rulings. And I've heard you talk about this, but for those that haven't found the joy of the Morning Cannolis yet, let's start with the last ruling mm-hmm. on Biden's efforts to relieve student loan debt. Mm-hmm. Jim, did this feel like a meritorious ruling to you? I mean, sometimes you look and you say, I look at the progressives, the quote unquote, the Kagans, the Sotomayors, and the Ketanji Brown Jacksons, and I say, are they completely off base, or do we perhaps have conservatives finding an ends justify the means sort of ruling?
Right. And I think in this case, you've got a fundamental difference on the court, not surprisingly, 6-3, about the role of government and the role of the executive branch in particular. The decision written by the Chief Justice in this case just drips of this notion that you've done an overreach, Joe Biden, that this is not something that you should do absent congressional action. Again, it's big, it's new, it's this major crimes, major questions doctrine, and only the Congress can be doing those kinds of colossal things. They've raised this before in other areas as well, including the COVID-19 business executive orders, those kinds of things. So we've seen this before, and it goes to, again, this fundamental notion, but what is government supposed to be doing? And what do you do ultimately if the Congress itself is not acting? If the Congress is not doing these things in the areas of environment and education, healthcare, commerce, all these kinds of things, guns, what is the president supposed to do who's responsible, again, ultimately for the safety and security of the country? He acts, and then the Supreme Court comes back and says, nope, you can't do that. Only the Congress can do it. But the Congress is busy passing defense bills that are never going to make their way across the Capitol Hill. So that's the challenge. I think it's a fundamental disagreement on the court about the role of government in the 21st century. And we can package it inside of language and legal doctrines, but that's where it comes from.
Jim, I believe another 6-3 ruling that affected education quite a bit, effectively the elimination of affirmative action. And although the broader ruling, my understanding, didn't say, yeah, we've overturned prior precedent, Clarence Thomas made clear in his concurrence, I believe, that that was his take on this. And whether or not they acknowledged it through the language of the Supreme Court ruling, effectively, this just rolled back 40 years of precedent, didn't it, Jim?
It did, including a decision issued by Sandra Day O'Connor about 20 years ago saying, you know what, you can, in fact, take a look at race when it comes to deciding who's going to be in your entering class. She said that. She also said, you know, maybe in about 25 years or so may come a time when we don't have to do that. The entire court, including Thomas, seizes on and says, well, it's 23 years, not quite 25, and it's just about time. However, the larger issue here is, again, what do you think about the 14th Amendment? You've got a different view about what equal protection means. You've got the majority of the court, including Thomas, including the Chief Justice, saying that this is a colorblind portion of the Constitution. We don't look at race anymore. And that's what gets Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan hair on fire, right? Because they look at this and say, wait a minute, the 14th Amendment was passed in the wake of what? The Civil War. We were emancipating blacks, new citizens. We were trying to raise their level of economics and culture and education, healthcare, all those kinds of things. And it was meant to be remedial in its focus. If today you're telling me that that purpose of the 14th Amendment is no longer here, that's ridiculous. And it also goes back to this longstanding view that John Roberts has had, that we are living in a country where we no longer need to be concerned about race. Talked about that in the voting rights cases as well, right?
Well, that's, I'm sorry to interrupt, Jim, but didn't they, this very same court with Roberts ruling for the majority, also wrote that Alabama effectively still has a problem with racial disparities,
right?
And deserved another congressional district.
Right. In the strongest language possible. They basically just condemned the Alabama legislature for drawing these lines as they did. It could not have been stronger. Again, you've also got Brett Kavanaugh siding on the side of the majority there and making that kind of comment. That was a surprise, I think, to many people, because the two previous major cases coming out of the Supreme Court were cases that basically eviscerated the Voting Rights Act. Section 2, before that, Sections 4 and 5, case called Shelby County, Brnovich out of Arizona. And we thought, many people thought, this was going to be the final nail in the coffin. It was not. And it came as a surprise. And maybe, just maybe, this was John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh, and certainly the liberals as well, saying, you know what? Maybe we need to back off on this. We need to preserve something related to the Voting Rights Act to ensure that people know the Supreme Court is still here to have some involvement in this. It was a surprise, not inconsistent with the prior decisions to carve out portions of the Voting Rights Act, but certainly a clear statement that race does, in fact, matter in America in 2023. And getting back to your point, seems to be at least superficially inconsistent with this notion that when it comes to admissions, we don't need to be concerned about race anymore because we are in a, not the Chief Justice's word, but many other descriptions of what he said, in a post-racial America. We are not.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis, Jim. But also, this other case, the lady who never made a website, yes, for somebody who, right, didn't ask her to, who, right, is married to a woman. I mean, how and then allows for discrimination against what? LGBTQ?
Right.
What? Individuals who want to come and, you know, buy goods and services in public. How did this even get that far?
It shouldn't get that far. And you've identified the principal issue here that people are rolling their eyes about, not just scratching their heads. It has to do with standing. How many times have we talked about it,
right,
on this very broadcast, right? In order to bring something into court, you and I have got to have a case or controversy. We've got to be in disagreement with each other. There have got to be damages that we show that you've done something to me. I can say, you know what?
Is that the ripening? I hear the term ripening. Is it the damages that creates the ripening?
Somewhat related. Once a case is ripe, it means that you've suffered some damages, right? So it's a little bit different language, but it's pretty darn close. Here, as you indicated, where is the standing? Colorado has not yet enforced this anti-discrimination law against her. She's not opened her business, as you just noted. The one fellow that they point to and say he was the one who was coming in says, I know nothing about this. I'm married to a woman. There are no damages here. What is the Supreme
Court
doing?
Damages seems like fraud to me, man.
It certainly does suggest that there's no basis for the Supreme Court to have decided this case. And it makes you wonder, are you plucking these cases up not because there is a case in controversy, but because you want to make points in America? That's the concern.
Bingo, counselor. Bingo. You're so insightful. He always is the insightful guest. He is James Santel, host of Morning Cannolis and bearing afternoon cannolis today. We appreciate it, Jim. Come back. More Jim Santel. Perhaps you on the phones. 844-96-PARTY.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude,
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear and breezy with lows around 55. For Monday, partly sunny with a high near 75. Clear skies, mid-50s for Monday night. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, we're back to 81 degrees. On Wednesday, some showers and thunderstorms and a high near 86.
It's 57 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin Uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789. Be patient, we will get to you. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us. Jim, thank you for doing so. Before you came on the air, we're talking in the last hour, local topic here in Wisconsin. The naked bike race, yes, promoting positivity.
Right?
There you go. Yes, you know, and you know, go biking against oil. You know, protesting big oil. Apparently, there was a 10-year-old involved. Her parent was there, and they were naked. And the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin are losing their frickin' mind about it. The state investigated, said, well, there's nothing here. No crime was committed. It wasn't exploiting the child. But the Republicans go on and say they want the DOJ, they want the feds to now investigate, saying it's indecent exposure, it's immoral, it's harmful, it's obscene. Beyond those words, the legality of it, Jim. Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of naked, man, and if someone wants to be naked, I don't have a problem with it. Right. But what do the statutes say?
You know, does the word ridiculous come to mind when you think about this? I don't know if the statutes say anything, but it just doesn't apply, right? There's no criminal action here. There's nothing wrong here. You've got parents who are making a decision appropriately about their children. That's what we do. We let parents make those judgment calls about the ways in which their children are involved in the world, school, friends, all kinds of things out there. This is one of them. I admit, we all acknowledge this may be a little bit closer to being on the edge, if you will, but nothing illegal about this, nothing criminal in nature about it. Is there a civil injunction here? What is the nature, again, the damages? What's going on here? You don't want to look at it?
Should the DOJ get involved?
Not at all, right? You know, this is not a basis. We've got limited resources, we know. How many other things in the state of Wisconsin do we need to investigate and pursue? This should be off everyone's agenda. If you don't like it, don't go. Don't attend. Don't read the news articles. And do other things that are important to you, right? This is not the kind of thing we should be spending any of our government resources, our time on. The Department of Justice has many, many other things that should be the focus of their attention, not this.
Well, and speaking of the Department of Justice, let's get to some of the Trump news today, Jim. CNN reporting, Trump's lawyers filed petitions attempting to throw out evidence collected last year by the special grand jury, banning prosecutors from presenting the material to the newly impaneled grand jury that has charging powers. Trump doesn't want him to see the evidence, and further disqualifying Willis, the DA, from any related proceedings. Lawyers for Trump say letting the investigation proceed would lead to, quote, a violation of his fundamental constitutional rights while he seeks his party's nomination for the presidency of the United States. Well, number one, Jim, I'm very busy, so I don't have time for your prosecution right now.
Right, absolutely right.
But what about them trying to throw all this evidence out?
I've just written the word ridiculous down in my page of paper here, and I'm going to answer that to all your questions now, apparently, the rest of the day. This is absurd. This, again, is not a last-ditch effort because they're going to continue to do this. This is an absurd attempt, once again, to try to stop things from happening. As to the motion, the petition, to get Fannie Willis thrown off, that's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. No judge is going to look at this and say she's done anything wrong. She's followed all the procedures. There's no basis for that. As to this other, again, it's not even arguably a more meritorious request. The grand jury properly duly impaneled. The investigative grand jury produced its findings plainly, made some recommendations. We may find out as soon as next week when the indicting grand jury, already impaneled this past Tuesday, may return some charges here. All this is procedure. You file the motion in the hope that maybe you get sort of an Eileen Cannon situation out there. You get some judge who says, well, maybe there's something here. There's nothing here. But it's the attempt again by his lawyers to pull out all the stops to stop this, to delay this. There will be more in all of these cases, including coming out of Atlanta. And everybody who's looking at this, who's rational and reasonable and not ridiculous, is looking at this and saying,
it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, exactly. Some people are commenting appropriately. It's an embarrassment, once again, quite literally, to the legal profession to argue about this, right? It truly is. And it may not be sanctionable in the literal sense that Rudy Giuliani and others are facing sanctions, but it's pretty darn close.
Is ridiculi the singular of ridiculous? Just asking for a friend.
You talked about Judge Eileen Cannon, also Trump efforts there to continually delay. In fact, hell, delay it, you know, indefinitely because, as mentioned, I'm really busy running for president. I got to work. I mean, you know, CPAs don't get to, you know, put off their prosecutions for embezzlement just because it's tax season, Jim. So, but Eileen Cannon, you know, a loose cannon, perhaps. What do you think of the filing? What do you think of Jack Smith and DOJ's response to that filing? And how do you see Cannon reacting?
Right. And so Jack Smith, once again, has proposed a trial date in early December.
He keeps saying that.
Right, you know, and again, as you know, I've said, I'll wait to see if that happens. That's 4 months from now. And we have not yet even seen all the motions there to suppress, to dismiss. Those have still got to be filed, some discovery disputes happening. We'll see whether that happens. And out of necessity, under the Speedy Trial Act, she may be compelled to do it. Should not be because Donald Trump says, I've got to go to the primaries and be a part of the caucuses here. If that is the basis for doing it, you've just carved out a brand new exception, if you will, to the Speedy Trial Act. Would be outrageous. I'd like to think that the Department of Justice would take that up promptly to the 11th Circuit once again and get a ruling slapping that down. So, my sense is that trial date will move, but not because we've got to accommodate a certain candidate.
Do you think Cannon will reject that?
I'd like to, if she's smart, she will, because it will lend legitimacy to other things that she would do, right?
Demonstrated that's not a quality she has, as you might see.
Well, right. She might be smart, but she's certainly, you know,
crafty, helping Donald Trump, at least the last time around.
Yeah. Let me take a crack at the counselor, our fine guest, Jim Santel. He is the host of Morning Cannoli Saturday, right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11. Tune him in the morning. But I hear there might be a mole. I understand Jared Kushner has been compelled to testify before the Jack Smith and also perhaps even the first daughter, Ivanka. Mm-hmm. Is it possible they're the deep throats and they're turning states against the old man, Jim?
Could be in the grand jury in Washington. It's apparently active, looking again, not at Mar-a-Lago, but looking at your favorite thing, Mike, which is January 6th.
That's what I want to get to the bottom of. And it's not just Trump. It's potentially hundreds of Republican electeds, Jim, on the highest levels of the federal government.
And all those people, again, may well be on the names of files being held right now by Jack Smith. He's calling an awful lot of people in. Jared Kushner is the one who's at the top of the list, trying to figure out whether there's any time when Donald Trump looked at him and said, hey, I know that I lost this election. You remember this woman named Melissa Griffin who said that the president had said her to her?
Jim?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Who said that the president...
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Millions are under heat watches and advisories across much of the country. In Phoenix, the temperature has been 110 or above for weeks.
The heat feels like when you preheat the oven and you open it up to stick the food in. That heat
coming from the oven is like the same as walking outside of your house.
That's Stephen Caressis, who lives in Phoenix. Two children are missing in Pennsylvania. Upper Makefield Fire Chief Tim Brewer says floodwaters swept away their car.
Miraculously, Dad and his son were able to get safely. However, the grandmother, the mother, and the two children were swept away by the floodwaters.
Police kill a suspected gunman in a shootout. The man killed four in a rampage near Atlanta, they say. Henry County Sheriff Reginald Scandrett.
Citizens of Hampton County, of Henry, Metro Atlanta area, and the entire state of Georgia can breathe a little easy tonight that the suspect is off the street.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. It's telling a story. Got all interrupted by these ads and the news and such. So, let me complete the story. So, anyways, the story was the day Crudy debated Tony Evers. And I challenged Tony Evers on the reading performance scores of Wisconsin students. And I utilized an Alan Borsig article that apparently Tony had not seen or was unfamiliar with. And Borsig was critical of both Evers and Scott Walker because the scores were still low. And the proposed solution was a read to lead board. And we had had Senator Chris Larson, a Milwaukee area senator, on our fine show like a week prior and asked Chris. Chris had the read to lead board. never even met. We never even got together. So it wasn't a solution. It was a blue ribbon panel thrown at the wall to see if the problem would go away on its own. And of course, problems don't go away on their own. So it was a apt criticism, I thought. And I thought, considering the audience and, you know, the nature of the candidate forum that we were having, I thought it was my opportunity to challenge Tony Evers on what I thought was not going to be his strength when it was time to debate Scott Walker. Because Scott Walker certainly wasn't going to draw a contrast. Well, Tony, you embraced my budget. You called it kid-friendly. Well, Tony, your bad reading scores are my bad reading scores, right?
We did this together.
We co-chaired the read-to-lead board. So any criticism that he might offer was going to be blunted by the fact that, you know, he had a couple of things where he either agreed with Walker or he chaired with Walker or whatever. Tony got real spirited.
Spirited, yes.
He was very spirited. You were there, Dom. You were in close proximity. And, you know, so Tony starts gunning me on Crudy, quit lying, quit effing lying. The guy's swearing at me.
I mean, there's after the debate, after we took our social media picture, yes.
After our hour of debate, we're standing there, and the audience can probably hear most of what's going on. And so anyways, Tony grabbed me, and then I chastised him for not having the courage to stand up to Dr. Tim Slecker, host of Busted Pencils, Tuesday night, coming up at 7 o'clock. Wonder if Tim remembers this story. But Evers had forced the moderator out for his hour. Slecker moderated the other 2 hours, but not the hour that Tony Evers appeared on, because Tony personally thought he had an axe to grind or whatever. And he was, quote unquote, the front runner, and he had the power to push out the moderator, and they did. Technically, his campaign chair, now his chief of staff, did. Well, Dom, you know, my wife was completely embarrassed by the fact I had run for governor without her prior consent or thoughtful consideration or a family discussion or any of those sort of things. Some do. And, you know, it'd been nearly a month on the campaign trail. And, you know, I noticed the local media didn't see the value in stories. We're trying to make stories like the fact that campaign coordination was legal in the state of Wisconsin, suddenly under the corrupted campaign finance laws of Scott Walker. And if Scott Walker was going to use the corrupted laws, so was I. And I was going to use a third-party group, the People for People, People Corporation, to coordinate with the Crute for Wisconsin campaign. And in fact, we sent out a joint press release with the exact same wording from both the campaign and the third-party group, just to demonstrate how clearly these two organizations were going to coordinate, which was now completely legal under Wisconsin campaign finance law. And the local press went, they yawned. Because they still wanted access to Scott Walker. And of course, they weren't going to challenge the man. This was the law of the land. If corruption's the law of the land, then it's good. And if we want to continue to have access to Scott Walker, we're not going to challenge the man on something like the corruptness of the campaign finance laws here in the state of Wisconsin that he, of course, had changed so he could continue to corrupt them. But back to Tony Evers. So Tony and I had a few coarse words, and the man showed he has plenty of fire in his belly. He was mad as hell at me.
Oh, yes, he
does. I was a little mad back, and it's the fact that Tony is not of the same stature as me that probably permitted him to approach me in a physical way, swear in my face, and not get a knuckle sandwich, if you know what I'm saying. But never came to any of that. And then it was time for the social media picture.
Which I just sent to you.
And, oh, did you? You shared it? We should put it up on social media. Yeah. Because Kelda was beaming. She was radiant up there in the center of the photo. And Crudy and Tony Evers look like we were mugging it up for like the pre-fight. You know what I mean? Like when they line right. The boxers.
You got done weighing in, and now you're in your boxers, nose to nose, chin to chin.
And it was a weird sort of stacked ranked choice voting straw poll they did at the debate there at the Miramar with the teachers in attendance choosing their preferred candidates.
And Kelda Royce won that day.
Yes,
we did. Made her look so good by comparison. Oh, did she look good compared to me and Tony that day? Because we both came off as relatively petty, although I blame petty Tony. Couldn't have been my fault.
Yeah. A little sour. I mean, the look on you, yours, and Tony's face from that day, I took that shot right after this confrontation, altercation, discussion. And Tony's sour, Crudy's sour. Everybody's sour, but Earl and Kelda smiling ear to ear, baby.
They were very happy. It was a great hour of radio, if nothing else. And so Kelda won the straw poll. Tony took 7th. Crudy took 8th. Paul Soglin, who was not there, took 9th.
All right. You didn't come in last, Crudy.
Well, Soglin didn't show up. He might have been disqualified from the straw poll, but Soglin was the least favored in that he didn't attend. And of the 9, make that 8 candidates in attendance, I finished last, just a skosh behind Tony Evers, who, as the superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction, didn't fare so well in front of that teacher-led audience that day, because he didn't look any better than I did. But as Tony was the polling front runner and had the money and all that stuff, by Monday morning, I got out. I just said, I'm done. Won't have this guy to kick around anymore, I think. Thought I was being a little clever in my quote. And Theo Keith, then with Channel 58 in Milwaukee, came down to the Brady Street Studios to interview me bright and early. Why I was there so early, I think I had launched on Earl's show, and I think I pulled the plug on Earl's show. And then Theo Keefe came down to interview. It felt like an interruption to interview me. And I said, you know, you won't have this guy to kick around anymore. And, you know, I said, basically, I didn't want to be Donald Trump bare knuckling my way through the Democratic field. You know, it becomes starkly apparent to me any of the campaign things I was going to put out there, like campaign corruption and pointing out the broken campaign finance laws, these things I wanted to build a campaign on, weren't gaining any traction with local press. So the only thing that was getting any sort of notice was, I think it was described as, the bizarre interplay between me and Tony on a debate. You know, it was the fact that the now governor of the state of Wisconsin yelling in my face, effing liar, Crudy. You know, that is my claim to fame. I bring
one of the many, Crudy.
One of many. A passion out of this governor that yes. You have ever seen.
And no question about it, Crudy. I didn't know that Governor Evers had that kind of passion. And I got to be honest, Crudy. I think you instill that passion in lots of people that you interact with, and they end up being very passionate after your conversations with them. And I didn't know Tony was so fiery and was so
profane
with the F bombs, man. I mean, I gained a little bit of respect for him. Called
didn't
you well?
Didn't you? I've told the story a few times. Actually, in grudging admiration when you talk about, you know, old Tony or whatever. No.
Oh,
he's got plenty of
right.
fire in his belly. You should know the Tony I know.
It's true. It's true. I thought it was a little strange at the time, of course. I saw the grab on the arm, and he kind of leaned in and swore at you a little bit, and you got back at him. But you didn't grab him. I noticed that. Then I was like, hey, everyone, let's take a picture. And like a minute later, and then that's what that picture ended up being.
I've got to take a peek.
But to the point, bring this back to,
man, Tony's got like his jaw set.
Oh yeah,
he's mad.
He's ready to blow. He is ready to go. Thought you guys would be MMAing up there. But yeah, so I actually came away with, I mean, he does have some fire. He's got some, you know, obviously constitution and strength, and more than just beyond the euchre and the folksiness. And I get it. I mean, we want to put our best face forward, right? Certainly, don't we all? But sometimes, you know, we lose our tempers, and sometimes we drop the F-bombs, and sometimes we mean it. Sometimes it's for effect. Sometimes there's no better word to describe what we're trying to communicate. So, you know, here we are, man. It happens. So what? And Republicans, if you look at the orange guy and let's go back and revisit some of the things he has said throughout his political career and his business career, I'd be hard pressed to think that those aren't anything any worse than or are any better than what we're hearing being reported about Joe Biden or even with Tony Evers.
What? I didn't know Earl gave Kelda a hug. Earl's giving out hugs. No wonder why Kelda's smiling. Kelda got a hug. Where was my hug? Candidate Crudy got no hug. Yeah. I would have taken a hug from Tony or you or Earl, but I didn't get a hug, man. That's why I was so
see that. That's why you were a little salty.
844.
Yes, no more swearing, Crudy. Very bad. Very
967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, good for them for being salty when they need to be salty. I mean, that's it's perfectly appropriate because considering the amount of crap that they have to take on a daily basis, they need to blow off a little steam. And so I don't have a big problem with it.
In Dom's case, that's not steam coming out of the windows, though. Just so we're clear, Mark. That's not steam.
It's like the Spicoli, man.
I don't have a problem with it. Considering what the last president did, I mean, that, what he did on leaving office, I mean, that the fact that Joe Biden is salty or Tony Evers is salty, considering what the Republicans did to him before he even got into office. I mean, I'd be salty too. I mean, that there's in my lesser moments, I go, it'd be nice if he could invite them to a nice little family fray gathering like Arya Stark did when she got rid of the.
are we going full red wedding here, Mark? Holy schmoly!
I mean, rhetorically speaking, of course, Mark.
Here's a guy that occasionally fires me up. CJ, welcome back. How you doing, fella?
Hey, CJ. What do you think about Joe Biden using the MFers, man?
Fiery Joe Biden. Angry Joe.
Well, thanks, Crudy and Dom, for taking my call. But, you know, America's finding out that, you know, Commander Cut and Run, he's in his early stages of Alzheimer's, and a vote for him is going to be a vote for do-nothing VP Harris. So if you look up the symptoms of dementia, and I've seen it in my own family and other friends.
Are you diagnosing? Anger
is it's a big part of it, CJ.
If you believe the book, he's been angry since at least the 08 campaign, since he was egomaniacal senator.
No, we've watched them, and it's pretty sad. So finally the press is realizing it, and your party claims to care about democracy. Well, this grumpy old man denied his seventh grandchild.
CJ, I can't take any more of you today. Sorry, come on, gotta man. Let you go.
I just got five things to say to you, CJ. Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the University, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Baugh.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Kareem Maureen Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear and breezy with lows around 55. For Monday, partly sunny with a high near 75. Clear skies, mid-50s for Monday night. On Tuesday, mostly sunny. We're back to 81 degrees. On Wednesday, some showers and thunderstorms and a high near 86.
It's 57 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. Join us, 844-967-2789. Stick around, Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show coming up at 6 o'clock.
This one's going out for you, Tony Evers. You know who comes up after Maggie Dawn, of course? Busted Pencils. Educated Educators Talking Education with Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jenny Lupinacci. I wonder if Tim remembers that gubernatorial debate.
Call him up and ask him, man.
I know he does. I mean, if you're the moderator of a gubernatorial debate and someone calls up the station the night before from the campaign and says, we want a different moderator for our candidate or he's not going to show. What do you do? That's one of the things that bothered me the most. I'm glad I've publicly exposed. No regrets.
Yeah, glad you got that out, Curdy. Well, listen, man. No matter
how bad it gets. I wouldn't want to be accused of being angry or petty after the fact.
Well, of course not. It's been years now. I'm sure everyone's gotten over it. Right, Curdy? Well, right, Tony?
The last five times he appeared on the show, all before that day. Actually, he came on the show after that day. That's the surprising thing.
For the right before the election, though, right? That was his last kind of swing.
He was elected. In October of 2018, Tony Evers was still willing to come on the greatest radio show ever. I think the last time I introduced him was the enemy of my enemy, Tony Evers. And he hadn't been back since. I don't know why.
I don't know why. Pretty good news. The good news out of all of this is we are not the Michigan GOP.
Oh, what did they do? You've been trying to tell me, but I've been ignoring the conduct of the Michigan GOP because I want to let you tell me this story. Tell me all about it, Dom.
Well, I guess my home state, baby, and the GOP continues its downward decline. The Michigan Advance reporting. Here's the headline. Michigan GOP meeting melee prompts further questions about Karamo's leadership and party finances. What? So here we go. The leadership in Michigan, direction and finances of the Michigan Republican Party are being questioned following a physical melee that broke out at a state committee meeting over the weekend.
A melee?
I was in Detroit. I totally missed it. Apparently, I was not in Clare. Saturday morning, a special gathering at the Doherty Hotel in Clare came amid public questioning of the leadership of the new chair, Christina Karamo, specifically how party funds were being raised and spent. Isn't that always a question? She was elected in March in a crowded field after her unsuccessful bid to be the Secretary of State. However, the event instead made national headlines. Don't you love it when you go local and now it becomes national? When a party member and a county party chair got into a scuffle that brought out police and could result in charges. Mark DeYoung, chairman of the Clare County Republican Party, told the Detroit News he was attacked by Wayne County Republican James Chapman when he opened a locked door Chapman was trying to open. Here's the quote. He kicked me in my balls as soon as I opened the door, DeYoung told the news, adding that Chapman then slammed him into a chair, breaking his rib and requiring a trip to the emergency room. Chapman alleges DeYoung took a swing at him first, prompting him to remove his glasses. When you see me taking off my glasses, I'm ready to rock, Chapman was quoted by the news as saying. DeYoung denies he acted first and he plans to press charges. Police say a complaint has been filed and was being investigated.
I lost track of the multiple people in the melee, but whoever did the nard kicking, that person clearly crossed the line down. Can we agree, when you kick someone in the nards, that's crossing the line.
I mean, Wayne County Republican James Chapman. That's what the Republicans, I mean, this is it, right? So they got a new chair. They're like, lots of the state parties are burning through money, right? Some of the reporting we've seen of how much money they have on hand versus how much debt they have because of them getting behind these BS claims of Trump to, you know, challenge the election, yada, yada, yada.
The Arizona GOP, shockingly, after the cyber ninjas had their way in Maricopa County, they're apparently broke.
I mean, strange how that happens. But no matter how bad it gets, Crudy, when you and now Governor Tony Evers at the debate stage talking education, there was no kicking of the balls like going on at the Michigan GOP. If that doesn't just describe the entirety of the grand old party right now, I don't know what does.
I feel like you're describing a scene from Weird Science. Remember when the boys get drunk and they go down to the jazz bar? She kicked me right in the nuts. She broke my heart.
Broke my heart, man. Broke my heart. So, we're down. You know, we're down with the spirited debates. Lots of philosophies and things to address, and priorities are different, and experiences are different, and we embrace those things. And yes, there will be absolutely confrontation and philosophical differences, but at least no one's getting kicked in the private parts. Well done, Michigan GOP. Way to make the national news. Like, Trump was there recently, wasn't he?
National news or Michigan?
In Michigan, yes.
Where was he most recently? Where, what's his face? Oh, our boy, Chris Christie. Hope he makes the debate stage.
Oh, no doubt. If he does, then Trump certainly isn't coming. At least not to Milwaukee.
You keep saying that. I don't think he's as scared of Christie as you think Trump is. I think he, you know, sees him as some sort of peon. Remember he had Christie at Mar-a-Lago? He made him eat mom's meatloaf.
I remember all that. I mean,
and he Trump, got two, I mean, scoops of ice cream. Trump was and a Christie projection. Got
he
one.
Has so much insecurity. He's such a narcissist. It's such an overplay, right? I mean, that's what Trump does. He overcompensates for his lack of everything. Of everything. That's what Trump does.
Well, Chris Christie gives me a pleasant thought to end the day on, Dom. I'd like to share it with you and the audience. GOP presidential candidate Chris Christie said Tuesday that former President Trump goes to bed every night thinking about the threat of going to jail over his 37-count federal indictment in the classified documents case. I bet he's right about that. Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, said based on the indictment, he believes Trump would be convicted and ultimately face jail time if he went to trial. During an interview on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Christie said that to avoid going to jail, Trump may consider making a deal, Dom. Who's he going to flip on? There's no one left to flip on. Rudy's flipping on you right now. He may consider taking a plea deal instead of going to trial, despite his claims that he's not afraid. Here is Christie's quote. Because part of what the Department of Justice has always done under all of my attorneys general that I've seen in my lifetime is if we offer you a plea, which I'm certain they will, and you turn it down and you take us to trial and you're convicted, that judge is sending you to jail. And I'm telling you, no matter what he says, no matter how he's bragging and going on and on about him not being afraid, he goes to bed every night thinking about the sound of that jail cell door closing behind him. So take that one to bed. Don't be angry. Don't drive angry.
Don't drive angry.
Thank you for listening. See you on hump day.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you.